Cosmetic Course Podcast, Episode 11. This is Adrian Richards, and today in the podcast, I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers of The Consulting Rooms. We're going to be discussing the best ways to have ongoing training. So we're going to be discussing a little bit about how to find courses to get you started, and then ongoing, you know, how you can keep your education up. He's going to talk to us about the content of the forthcoming FACE conference, which is probably the biggest annual event and the best annual event with international speakers, you know, coming to discuss the latest techniques. And we're really going to explore the whole area of education and give you advice as to the best way of keeping your knowledge current and up to date. So I'm here again with Ron from the consulting rooms, and today we're going to be really focusing on ongoing training, well, really training from your first course and what you should do thereafter. So thanks for joining us today, Ron.
That's fine. Thanks, Adrian.
Could you just give me some tips? I mean, you obviously deal with a lot of people who have been in the industry starting up through to very successful people. You know, any tips on, you know, finding a course, you know, really from the beginning, from people's first exposure to the industry?
Sure. Well, I think now really people have to pay for a commercial training course because a lot of the suppliers aren't particularly interested, especially from an injectable perspective, at taking in new people and taking them through any training route. And in fact, there isn't really any visible training route through companies like Allergan that manufacture Botox, for instance, and Juvederm.
So Ron, I was at a meeting actually last Friday, and it was interesting. I was talking to Lee Garrett, who you probably know from Allergan, and he was explaining that Allergan aren't actually allowed to run courses by the FDA.
Well, I'm not sure that that is necessarily the case, because it is a license indication.
But only for the glabella?
Only for the glabella, yeah, absolutely. So I think if they focused on that, but certainly the filler training shouldn't be a problem at all, because, as you know, that's not a prescription medicine anyway. So I think probably the issue is that because there are probably around about 30 to 40 different individual training providers of various capacities in the UK. And so I think that a lot of the big companies think, well, okay, well, fine, let them go through that route for a start, learn their trade, and then I think a lot of the bigger companies now are more interested in developing people if they've got a proper business model and if they're getting through a number of patients or clients, rather than taking on a lot of new people themselves to sort of train up and develop through the through their own training route.
Okay, so that explains that one a little bit. So they're more interested in people, you know, who've got an established track record, really.
Well, at the end of the day, what they need are people that are going to get through products. And there's two aspects to this. Number one, when you're first coming into the business, is learning whether or not this is right for you, getting a feel for the aesthetic market, feel for injectable treatments, which I think are the first things, certainly from a medical perspective, that people should learn, both Botox and fillers, and seeing whether or not this is going to suit you and whether you feel that you can handle these types of treatments from a practical perspective. And then if you can, really, then it's how you develop your business model from there on in, whether you work for someone else or whether you start to develop a clinic of your own.
Okay, so someone, say, you know, a doctor or a nurse or a dentist who, you know, hasn't done any of these treatments, they should really probably go to a sort of foundation course, would you think?
I agree, yeah. I mean, it's a sort of an initial course, really looking at the background to the market, the background to the treatments, to injectables, and then some practical details as to how they work, and obviously some form of practical demonstration session. Preferably, ideally, I guess, where somebody actually manages to inject themselves. I don't know what, from your perspective, how do you structure the course, Adrian?
Well, the foundation course is really the one for people starting, you know, to give them the taster. Yeah. And it's sort of lectures in the morning about fillers and Botox, essentially. And then in the afternoon, it's, you know, interactive, you know, with models. So everyone will do a Botox treatment on a model.
Wonderful.
So they have a demonstration initially, and then they actually do it themselves. So they mark the patient up and work out where the injection's going to be. Yeah. Now, I don't think that is really enough. I mean, so people leave and then they perhaps start injecting their, you know, relatives and people. But I think there is you know, sort of a concern for people. They leave the course and then they feel a little bit on their own. So what we're doing is a lot of one-to-one training where they subsequently come for a, if they feel it's for them in the foundation course, then they can come and have a whole day, you know, with one of the trainers.
Which is fantastic, and I think that's absolutely vital, because I think some of the most successful injectors that I know have invested a lot of money in their training, and I don't think it's possible to learn total facial contouring in a day.
No, I heard people learning Vaser High Def, Ron, who were going off to South America, and the course I think was sort of $45,000 or something.
It's an incredible amount of money, yes.
Yeah. So, but their argument is that they will learn that skill and they will recoup that money.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not from a surgical perspective. You probably have a better idea about that procedure than I would. But I don't know whether that is that possible to, you know, really get the finer points of that procedure in a day.
It's not a day, I don't think, but it's. I think there are issues with that procedure. For anyone who doesn't know what Vaser High Def is, it's basically sort of vaser liposuction, but very superficially sort of etching the sort of abdominal muscles, like the torso muscles, the six pack.
Yes.
I know from sort of Ravi Jain has been tweeting on Twitter about this, and he in particular felt that the complication rate was very high.
Well, that's right. I think you're working very close to the skin, aren't you? So I think the room for error is very small.
Yeah, and I think he felt that the traditional vaser was more, was a safer option, really.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that.
Anyway, so getting back to a foundation course, more ongoing training.
Yes.
What's available for people then, Ron?
Well, I think as part of that course is some form of assessment of knowledge and skills. I think it's important as well, because it's okay going on the course, but then you need some form of, I think, test or feedback as to whether or not you've assimilated that information and knowledge.
I'd just say we have a MCQ available, which you can do from the cosmetic course site, which is actually set up with the BMJ and the
wonderful
MDU, and rather embarrassingly, Ron, I failed it the first time. So you can do it.
Quite stringent then.
Yeah, it was. I think some of the answers were wrong, but anyway, so that's quite a good way. You get a certificate from the MDU if you do that. If you complete the course, if you pass it. Anywhere of any other sort of online courses or tests or assessments?
Not purely online, not in this industry, I think, because a lot of, certainly the injectable side of things as well, I think you can do the theory side, but obviously there is very much a practical element to that that cannot be replaced by any form of real online training where you need to interact with somebody who's experienced in terms of assessing a face and in terms of looking at the treatment program and then how you deliver that. So I think that the theory side partly can be, and obviously you've utilised that to some aspect with your training course, which I think is great. And especially if there's some independent body as well that kind of approves that process, that's nice as well. And so somebody should look for some form of independent certification or authorisation of a course as well. I think that's better than just one that's devised by a single doctor who might be running it because he's been on a training course himself and decided this is a good business to get into, of which there are a few out there.
Yeah. So probably look for the sort of the main courses, and there are a number of really good ones, aren't there?
Well, there are. I mean, I think there are probably still only a handful of, I think, really good courses where you've got people that have put together a very good package and where they've got some heritage within the industry and run a business themselves, which I think is really important. So there are some people that train but don't actually treat a lot of people. And, you know, I think really you need somebody who's right at the forefront there in terms of treating people in their own practice, learning themselves as well from attending other courses themselves, to be able to disseminate and put that information into the course to make sure that it's right at the forefront and that people are learning, you know, the latest procedures. Because I'm sure you're probably aware of this as well, is that protocols and the way that people address certain issues tends to change every year.
Yeah.
As we advance and go forward. And I think it's important that certainly once people have invested in that initial training is that they then look to build in some form of ongoing training program, whether that's through bespoke training courses, one-on-one, or whether it's a little bit broader at events like the FACE conference or IMCAS in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, I find some of the best ways are just talking to people, you know, informally about how they, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah.
I met a fascinating guy last Friday at the Allergan sort of meeting called, I think his name was Jacques Otto. Have you ever
Jacques
come
Otto, up? Yes.
Yeah.
He's in Harley Street, isn't he? Yes.
He had some very interesting ideas about, you know, the sort of stem cell transfer, you know, from spinning down the blood, you know, to get those stem cells and you know, fascinating. He was doing a lot of Nefertiti lifts. In fact, more lower face Botox than upper face Botox.
Well, that's right. And I think if you really know what you're doing and if you can really understand the muscle anatomy and if you're accurate with your injections and you know how to use the particular product well that you're using, then you can get some really nice, subtle, but overall very effective results.
Yeah.
With skilled hands and understanding.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, I mean, even experienced practitioners probably, you know, I think, you know, need to talk to people and have ongoing learning. What do you think the best ways of getting this are, Ron?
I think multiple routes. It can be that you might be able to look at some form of mentorship with an individual who's particularly experienced in an area that you want to learn more information about. And again, there are some people that are good, what I would call sort of general practitioners, and other people that really, really specialise and are known for certain areas. And so if you really want to learn the kind of the latest and the best ways of approaching a particular problem, it might be best to look for specialists. The conferences are always good. The FACE conference, which is in London, in fact, it's on next weekend. It's an annual event, and there will be 45 speakers from around the world. Some of them, you know, published a lot of information on their certain aspects and areas of expertise, as well as being trainers and potentially mentors themselves as well from an international perspective. So that's a very good event to go to learn more about the latest on facial rejuvenation procedures, whether it's lasers, injectable treatments, peels, carboxy therapy, or any new leading treatments that are coming through, and also network with a number of other people who are involved in this business and this industry.
I believe you're talking, Ron.
I'm not talking myself. I'm involved with organising the meeting, which I have been over the last sort of 7 or 8 years. I have spoken on one of the agendas before, which is there's a face of the clinic business meeting, which is aimed more at clinic managers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously there's a lot that goes on when you're running a medical aesthetic clinic. And I think from a clinic manager's perspective, there are very few focus meetings or educational events for them.
Yeah.
And so that's put together. It's chaired by Wendy Lewis and it's been running for the last 2 or 3 years and looks more at practice management and marketing issues that can help a clinic manager to, you know, develop the concept within their business.
So, I think that's be a really good session to go to. But could you just quickly run through who you've got talking at the meeting, what they're offering?
Yeah, sure. We've got Derek Jones, who's a Beverly Hills dermatologist. He'll be talking on the latest in dermal fillers and certainly looking more at some of the newer compounds like the alginate compounds, such as Novabel, which has been recently launched. We've got Alistair Carruthers, who is part of the team with Jean Carruthers, who really identified the use of botulinum toxin for cosmetic purposes. And so he'll be doing some demonstrations on toxin delivery for both lower and upper face, as well as talking about the latest from our point of view of scientific data on toxins. We've got Benjamin Asher, from Paris, who is a very well-respected European plastic surgeon, who again will be talking on toxins. David Goldberg from the States, who is certainly seen as a laser guru by many practitioners from around the world, will be talking about the latest in radio frequency for sublative rejuvenation, as they call it, and this is really looking at fractional radio frequency systems.
Yeah.
We've got a really interesting workshop session on carboxy therapy with a Brazilian dermatologist who will be talking about using carboxy therapy for androgenetic alopecia as well, so male pattern baldness, which is something you and I hadn't heard about.
No.
and a number of other, you know, well-known speakers who will be, you know, giving quality scientific talks and also practical demonstration sessions on really anything to do with facial rejuvenation procedures.
Brilliant. And just remind me where it is and, you know, over how many days?
It's at the Royal College of Physicians. It's always over 3 days, and this year it's from the 2nd to the 4th of July. So the Royal College of Physicians is in London, just near Regent's Park.
Yeah. And so which days of the week is that? Sorry, Ron. That's
Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Do you concentrate on different things on different days, or is it...?
Yes, certainly the Friday tends to be more the laser radio frequency day, so looking more at, I think, equipment and its use in a medical aesthetic clinic. And then the following 2 days we'll focus more on topical treatments, peels and injectable treatments.
Okay, and you know, just the cost of the conference for people, Ron?
Cost of the event is $599 for the 3 days. And that includes access to a parallel agenda as well, which is run by some exhibitors. So there's some focused exhibitor workshops in conjunction with the Face of the Clinic business meeting, which is another sort of separate agenda on the Saturday, which people can visit certain sections if they want to as well.
So I mean, it's been a great success, you know, since it's been running, and you know, getting more and more popular every year, I think. So one not to miss, I think.
Yeah, if people want more information, go to faceconference.com.
Brilliant. And I hear there's a ball.
Yes, there is. There's an industry summer ball. It's going to be held at the Natural History Museum, which is a lovely venue. And I think there are around about 400 people who are registered for that so far, so it will be a big event.
And it's quite glamorous, isn't it?
Very, yes. I mean, it will be tux and, you know, evening dresses as well, so there'll be, I think, some of the leading industry people in their finest there.
That sounds... I mean, I went to the one last year, and it certainly was glamorous. Can't go this year, I'm afraid, Ron, because my wife is away, and I am in charge of the children.
Right. So, okay, well, that's more important.
Yeah, so I wish you the best of luck with that. Was it a lot of work organising it?
It takes a year to plan the event, and certainly with some of the speakers that we have who are, you know, their diaries are certainly booked out fairly well in advance. You have to work almost a year in advance to make sure that you can get some of the keynote speakers for that particular event to the UK.
So you start planning the next one pretty soon
pretty
after
much,
this one? Yep.
Pretty much in August, yes, absolutely.
Brilliant.
There is a similar conference as well that we started off, and it's called Body, and this will be happening again in November. We started off last year, and it's to focus more on, non-surgical treatments, and including some surgical treatments as well, for ranging from body contouring to treating stretch marks to laser hair removal, anything that might fit into a medical aesthetic clinic that really isn't covered in any depth at the FACE conference, because FACE does really focus on facial rejuvenation.
When and where is that going to be held?
That's going to be held in November. I think it's the 7th to the 8th of November at the Royal Society of Medicine in London this year. And if people go to bodyconference.co.uk, they'll find more details about that nearer the time.
So the two places to go, FACE conference for FACE and body conference.
For the body, yes, absolutely.
Okay, and we've talked a little bit about the sort of magazines and journals you'd recommend that people read.
Yeah.
Could you just remind us about those?
Yeah, I mean, there are, I guess, two trade magazines that are well-known, Body Language and also Cosmetic News, which has replaced Aesthetic Medicine magazine, which was run for a few years by EMAP. They're not journals per se in terms of not being peer-reviewed, but they do contain a number of useful articles and relevant information, topical information, that relates to running a medical aesthetic business. The Journal of Cosmetic and Laser Therapy is a journal that's probably, I would say, the best journal for anyone who's involved in injectable treatments and lasers. And that really does cover proper peer-reviewed clinical trial information.
Can you remind me of those the title of that journal again?
Yes, the Journal of Cosmetic and Laser Therapy. It's Informa. Then actually distribute that, and I think if you go onto informa.com, you will find information about that journal.
Informa, I-N-F-O-R-M.
O-R-M-A, yeah, Informa. I think that's around 350 to 400 a year for four issues.
And tax deductible, isn't it, obviously?
I would say so.
Yeah. So a question I'm often asked is, you know, is there a sort of textbook or anything that you recommend for people?
There are a lot of different books that are out there, and also DVDs as well. And companies like Taylor Francis or Wise Press that are publishers will host a lot of those. I must admit, I can't personally recommend any particular ones myself, apart from maybe, I think, Gene and Alistair Carruthers have certainly done some of this information. I certainly think that will be very relevant.
Yeah, I think if there was one book to buy, it would be that one, the Gene and Alistair Carruthers one,
yeah,
about Botox, really.
I would say so, definitely, yes.
Okay, and I just thought, before we leave it, Ron, I just thought I'd let you know that we're introducing what we're calling the Cosmetic Course Academy, which is a sort of site that you can go to where there'll be sort of consent forms, teaching videos, training information,
you know,
articles, you know, and all of that stuff that, you know, that, you know, to help you support your practice, sort of business advice, all that sort of thing will be available online.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, you can never have, I don't think, enough information when you're running a business. And so, you know, access to that from different sources, you know, it's definitely worthwhile. And people must put time aside, I think, every week to actually, you know, look at this material and learn from it.
I 100% agree. And the people that I'm most impressed with in the, you know, most successful are actually the people that are constantly questioning. Don't sort of sit back and say, well, I've got a treatment that works. They're always looking to improve and get better.
This industry is still a very young industry, and, you know, it never stops. And in fact, I think it's actually speeding up, really, the complexity of it, both in terms of I think what you can do with different procedures, and also now combinations of procedures, which I think is the, you know, the way forward as well. Now cleverly combining different treatments in order to get a step change in the results of people, but also the business side of things as well, as it's becoming more competitive, also is an area that people, I think, need to invest some time and effort into in order to be successful.
Well, I 100% agree with you. So, Ron, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Adrian.
And have a great time at that ball.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you very much for listening, and again, thank you to Ron for sharing his thoughts with us. As I mentioned, we're going to be producing more and more of these podcasts, which are available on iTunes and via our website. And we're also going to be introducing a Cosmetic Course Academy soon, where you'll be able to get a lot more information, sort of teaching videos and a lot of advice on business and, you know, other issues really to help you grow your practice. So thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I hope you found it useful and informative, and would love it if you could join us again next time.